May 30th, 2021. Welcome to the Cardi Show. I'm Brent Cardi. Glad to have you aboard. Big thank you to Zach Helton last week and everybody who listened. Zach, of course, will be starting his season in about 4 or 5 days with the Bluefield Ridge Runners of the New Appalachian League. Today's program, last week in baseball momentarily, Pat Malacaro after that. I just want to take a quick second to talk about what happened recently in Kamloops. And this may not be the place to do it, and I'm not a subject matter expert on this, but I would advise everybody to get educated on what residential schools did to these people. That's all I can say. I feel terrible for these people, what they're going through, what they went through. And some of you may look at your country in a different light. I don't know. And I wouldn't blame you if you did. So I'll leave it at that. I will leave it at that. Last week in baseball, let's get going on that. We learned earlier this week, felt like, even for a short week, felt like a donkey's age ago, that the dream for the Montreal fans to have a split season with Tampa Bay for the Rays is pretty much dead. The minority owners of the ball club are suing majority partner Stu Sternberg. Their claim is essentially that Sternberg is not operating in good faith. He doesn't have contracts, he's just doing whatever the hell he wants. And they believe his final intention is to move the team to Montreal. And Tampa Bay City Council and the minority owners, they want Sternberg to hand over control. And they're saying things like, you know, Sternberg's cheating the fans. And I see that. I'm like, what fans? They all showed up to Dunedin. They don't go to St. Petersburg. But something I'm going to keep an eye on. I'm sure more is going to come about it. And I'll let you know. If I hear anything, I'll let you know. What else can you say about the former second baseman for the Toronto Blue Jays? Brendan Kennedy put out an article this week about more claims against number 12's inappropriate and absolutely disgusting activities. We may be discussing this down the line with our guest next week, which actually records in about 20 minutes, to be honest. Alexis Britnicki, we may not. The one thing I'll say, the people in charge at the time, Alex Anthopoulos, Paul Beeston, if they knew this happened, they need to answer this. And they need to answer for this. Plain and simple. Let's get to the standings. The Tampa Bay Rays, the aforementioned Tampa Bay Rays, after whooping the Jays around, now lead the American League East. It is not the Red Sox. They're 19-7 on the road. They're essentially, though, let's be honest, the home team in Dunedin. Felt like they played 8 games there. Taylor Wallace has looked very good, and their pitching continues to be outstanding. Randy Rosarena and Joey Wendell continue to swing the stick very well, and Austin Meadows looks like he's heating up, and that's not good for the other teams. The Yankees have been getting solid pitching, but now they have really been bitten by the injury bug. They lose Aaron Hicks, Stanton's out, Kluber's out, and they're going to have to rely on Judge, Torres, and LeMahieu and Sanchez to keep the sticks booming and the W's on the board. Boston's been bumped out of the top spot. I think they're a beatable team. That was the one thing I'll tell you. That series in Dunedin, the Jays had them on the ropes for at least two of those games. If one of these pitchers starts struggling, it may not be good. Pivetta, Rodriguez didn't look overly great when they were pitching against the Jays in Dunedin. However, that offense is still one of the best in the game. Alex Verdugo, I think, is the future MVP. Tell me I'm wrong. The Blue Jays begin their first homestand at Salem Field on Tuesday against Blue Shift's Marlins. Alec Manoah was outstanding this week. Hard thing to do to go and throw six shutout innings at Yankee Stadium. And notice how good Ross Stripling looked with an opener this past Monday. I wonder if Uncle Ross listens to the Cardi Show. Chi Sox continue to lead the AL Central. Cleveland continues to hang on. The Royals look like they are in the process of rebounding from their losing streak. Congrats to Jay Dizzle, Josh Donaldson, for scoring the 2 millionth run in baseball history. And the Tigers have some bright pieces for their future. Spencer Turnbull, I think he's going to be a star. That guy's got 96 mile an hour in fastball, but this fastball moves. He's got a really cool windup. And it's really good to see former Blue Jay Daniel Norris look so good in a bullpen role. He's really got a good, quick delivery out of the stretch. The A's and their weird pitchfork thing continue to lead the AL West. The Astros continue to be right on their heels. I think that's going to be an interchangeable piece every week as we go through this. Not much else has changed. The Angels and the Rangers continue to battle for the basement. And the Mariners are still fighting to find the 500 mark. The NL East has also not changed from a week ago. The only difference is the Mets are just as injury ravaged as anyone else. Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Noah Syndergaard, Kevin Pillar, Brandon Nemo, to name some. Interesting to see former Jays and teammates Billy McKinney and Brandon Drury in the outfield for the Mets the other day against the Rockies in game one of that doubleheader, while Marcus Stroman was on the mound. That was the same day with no pitch. The Central has the Cubbies on top. I told you not to sleep on them. Watch out for the Brew Crew. Since Willy Adames came aboard, they've looked really good. And lastly, in the NL West, the Giants are out of first place. The Padres have taken their spot, and now the Giants will have a tough schedule ahead. And we're about to find out if the three-team race becomes a two-team race. Till next week, Pat Malacaro is coming up next on The Cardi Show. All right, the man of the hour is here. It's great to see him. It's great to have him back on The Cardi Show. He is... Well, he's technically still the voice of the Buffalo Bisons. He's Pat Malacaro. Pat, thanks for the time. Great to see you. How you been?
Oh, things are great, Brent. Good to see you as well. And yeah, it's a little unique this year with the Bisons playing in Trenton, but we're getting by and looking forward to baseball being played in Buffalo in just a matter of days.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be exciting, and we'll get into that momentarily. But let's talk to the folks about what you've been up to for the last 14 months. How weird was it not calling baseball last year in 2020?
It was different, but this year's different than the last. And the only reason I say that is because the AAA and the minor league season is going on now. And, you know, my situation is a little unique, but, you know, so many people can relate. So, you know, fully understanding that. Last year was different because there was no minor league season. But at the end of the day, the Blue Jays were playing their home games from, what, mid to end of July through September in Buffalo. And I ended up working all those games, all those home games, and what started out to be one job ended up being, you know, the PA guy because Tim Langton couldn't travel across the border last year. So, you know, it was unique, but that's what kept me occupied is, you know, not only was I able to watch games on TV, but I was able to be at the ballpark and see the Blue Jays in action and have a hand in the production that was going on. So, it was different. And then, you know, once the off season hit, it was right into, you know, off season mode and right. You know, what would 2021 look like? You know, my other job is working for WGR here in Buffalo, covering the Sabres and, yep. You know, a similar situation being in a building where there's no fans for the majority of it and watching hockey. So you won't hear me complaining too much.
Hey, that's awesome. I did not realize that you were the PA announcer for the Jays games last year. That is something cool, my friend, something cool. Talk to me about how the realignment process affected the Bisons, because I had Jesse Goldberg-Strasser on a few weeks ago, now with the Oakland Athletics, and Zach Helton used to do the Bluefield Blue Jays games. Now they are in the Appalachian League, now run by Major League Baseball. Let's get a AAA perspective on how the MILB realignment process looks.
The consolidations the main theme, and not just because there are 42 less teams in minor league baseball, but really one thing, and it's something I've fought for several years, is you've got teams that what used to be part of the Pacific Coast League in Des Moines, Iowa, or Omaha, Nebraska, going all the way out to Fresno or Sacramento, Tacoma, Reno, you know, out west into the Western time zone. Well, now Major League Baseball, through the realignment, has really separated what is the Midwest and the East from the West. So what used to be, I think it was a 16 or 14 team international league is now 20 teams. So the North, what used to be the North Division, that was Buffalo, Pawtucket, Syracuse, Rochester, Lehigh Valley, and Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, is still the same division. Now, Pawtucket has moved to Worcester, but they're still the Red Sox franchise, part of their affiliation. But now there are teams, Omaha is now in what is the AAA East. So that is Omaha, Memphis, Nashville, and as Jacksonville, which was not in AAA prior to this year, St. Paul, Minnesota, which used to be one of the premier independent league teams. Yeah. Major League Baseball has absorbed them into minor league baseball and AAA. So this year, Bison fans won't see a lot of those changes because it's only playing within your division. So there's six game series every Tuesday through Sunday are the series. But I'm looking forward to next year, whatever the schedule looks like. We'll hopefully know later this summer into the fall. I'm looking forward to potentially going to St. Paul, Minnesota, Jacksonville, Florida, you know, Omaha, Nashville, Memphis, those cities that Bison fans. And you know, if you're a Bison fan from the early 90s, you remember them from the American Association. But now Major League Baseball has sort of, you know, consolidated things and made it so that teams don't have to travel as much. And the other thing too now is if you're a fan of AAA baseball, there has been some realignment in the organizational shift of who's affiliated with who. So now that St. Paul, and that's part of what Major League Baseball did, was try and regionalize things. So right. St. Paul, Minnesota is now the AAA affiliate of Minnesota Twins. So the Washington Nationals were able to come back east, where they were out in California for the previous year or two. Now they're in Rochester. So that is part of what Major League Baseball wanted to do, not only consolidate, but to regionalize things. So Buffalo's still AAA, New Hampshire's still AA for the Jays. And now you've got Dunedin and what hopefully will be in 2022, Vancouver is the low A for the Jays affiliation. So it's consolidated and kind of tried to regionalize things too.
One of the, a couple of interesting points there about the American Association. We had Josh Schwab on a few weeks ago, and he talked about how a lot of the cities in the American Association give you that AAA experience. So if anybody wants to listen to that, it's a few episodes back. But one of the interesting rumors, I don't know if it's a rumor, I don't know if it was a fact, but apparently the Jays were very close to having Rochester as a AA affiliate, I heard. What do you know about that? I mean, how cool would that have been to have Buffalo and Rochester? I mean, right down the road, you could have players going back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something, you know, you look back to last year and maybe the alternate site being in Rochester after it moved from Buffalo, and when Buffalo became the home of the Jays, that may have been something that became very appealing to the Blue Jay organization and to Major League Baseball. But I think, you know, when it comes down to it, we talk about regionalization, and that is down the road, I think, you know, a topic that teams will have to start dealing with more and more. Honestly, I don't know much about it other than I've read the same stories and I've seen a lot of the same things that you're referencing. But I know talking to my friend Tyler Murray in New Hampshire, you know, they've been full bore AA affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays from, you know, the time the fall rolled around until now. And luckily, they're still in the fold as the AA affiliate. Awesome. But yeah, you know, you talk about, you know, being an hour from Toronto or 90 minutes from Toronto being in Buffalo. Yep. I'm sure it would be very convenient for the Blue Jays to have their AA affiliate just about an hour and 20 minutes away on a bad day. But I think if you're in Rochester and you've been in AAA baseball and you have such a AAA history, I'm sure that's something that, you know, is not something that a road they would want to go down in. I know that the rivalry, even though it's more of a front office thing between Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse, I know we wouldn't like to lose that either. So, you know, AAA baseball in Rochester feels right. And I enjoy going to Frontier Field. And, you know, for recent history, you talk about TJ Zoik throwing a no-hitter there in 2019 for the Bisons. And I was talking to our clubhouse manager, our head of clubhouse operations, I should say, Scott Lesher, and how unique a nine-inning no-hitter could be going forward. And that could be one of the enduring memories of the Bison's affiliation with the Blue Jays is, you know, TJ Zoik throwing that no-hitter.
Yeah, and TJ Zoik's an interesting guy, Pat, for sure. This is a guy that especially he started the year with the Jays, and now he's back pitching in Buffalo. What do you think TJ needs to do to graduate AAA officially?
I think TJ is one of those pitchers that he's going to be probably a reliable bullpen middle relief pitcher, but it's getting to that point. And I don't know that necessarily the Blue Jays need that out of TJ Zoik right now at the big league level, because you look back, sure, you're a former first round pick and there's a lot of expectations, but I don't like to compare, you know, first round picks, but let's take a look at Alek Manoah and let's take a look at Nate Pearson. They're your prototypical throw upper 90s to 100 with your fastball. That's not TJ Zoik. He's a pitcher who relies on a heavy sinking fastball or a lot of movement with his fastball, mid 90s to low 90s. So I think there's the expectations of what TJ Zoik can be at the big league level need to kind of be adjusted a little bit, because he's not your prototypical first round pick. But I mean that in a good way for TJ, because I think if the Blue Jays are going to be successful, one of the things they're going to need is not only Alek Manoah and Nate Pearson to be top rotation guys, but, you know, whether it's Anthony Kay as a lefty or it's TJ Zoik as a long reliever out of the bullpen, you need those role pitchers. Look at someone like Jordan Romano, who went to Oral Roberts, who pitched very well as a starter in the minor leagues. And now he's potentially your closer of the future for the Blue Jays. True. So, you know, just because you're a starter or your high expectations or your draft status is one thing, but once you go through the organization, baseball's so unique, where you start and where you end up can be totally different. And I think for Zoik, it's just whenever the Jays need that reliable middle relief pitcher, he could be that guy and probably will be that guy.
Especially get a guy who can get ground balls if that, like you mentioned, the heavy sinker is working. You mentioned Nate Pearson. He's been in Trenton slash, I keep saying slash Buffalo. I got to stop doing that. But his last start, it wasn't great. The strikeout numbers were there. You know, I talked last week about his, I think it was last week, I talked about that start in Houston that just did not go well. And then there was another injury. You talk about TJ Zoik being a projected starter to now probably becoming more of a middle relief piece. There are some people that are starting to believe that Nate should be a back end of a bullpen kind of piece. Where do you sit on that? And do you think the organization may be looking to press that button sooner than later?
I think it's too early from my perspective to go down that road. Sure. I think you look at Nate Pearson and I think it's just a matter of, you know, he just has not thrown enough innings yet to really know, you know, what he's a former first round pick. So there's the expectations, but, you know, is he going to be able to shoulder the load of a full major league season or a full professional season period? Like we kind of saw in 2019, but you have to remember, you know, he would start two innings. He would go five, you know, as easing him back in after the broken arm, even though he did pitch in the Arizona League the previous fall. So I think you just need to get innings under Nate Pearson. That's the big thing right now. And that's what I think 2020, there are pitchers like Alek Manoah who have definitely, and you can tell they have thrived through the alternate site. But then there are pitchers like Nate Pearson who just have not thrown enough innings. And maybe whether it's injuries or what have you, they just need to build back up. And I think we've seen in Buffalo in the end of 2019, Nate Pearson made three starts and they were electric. Now there's a little bit of a book out on Nate Pearson. And to me, that was kind of what I was wondering what we'd see out of Alek Manoah through a couple of starts. And that's what impressed me about his second start against Worcester was, you know, you just face a team once, they get a book on you. Now you have to adjust to the pitcher.
That's right. Yeah.
So I think for Nate, now that adjustment period comes. He faced a Scranton team that is very difficult. They're probably the best team, the class of the AAA East Northeast Division. And you're right. He had seven strikeouts, so the strikeout totals were there, but he had one bad inning. And it was a unique situation. Game was suspended from the night before. It wasn't really a start, but it was he comes out of the bullpen, but he gets the ability to prepare like a starter. So it was a little bit unique, you know, goes three innings and ends up with the loss. So I think for Nate, if he just builds his innings up, gets to five, six innings, can keep the strikeouts up and start eliminating those big innings, which I think he will. I think Nate Pearson will be right back on track. But I certainly understand, you know, there may be some folks who think, well, Alek Manoah has clearly passed Nate Pearson, and especially what he did at Yankee Stadium and that pressure in his first major league start. And I understand that, but I think I don't know that's the right way to look at the situation, because if you've got two former first round picks, top of the rotation first round picks,
Yeah.
They can set you up for years to come. And let's see how 2021 plays out, where Nate Pearson can have a real year of every fifth day, five, six innings a time. And let's get to maybe a September call up and or back and forth between Toronto and Buffalo / Trenton this year, and see how things end up, how many innings he can have. And let's go to spring training in 2022.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm absolutely with you. It's a heck of a debate. It's kind of a nice debate to have, you know, to have those top first round prospects. And it's another first round guy that I find kind of intriguing is Logan Warmoth, another first round pick in 2017. He's a guy that has repeated a couple levels. He came in as a shortstop, and now it looks like the power's back, but it looks like he's bouncing all over the field, kind of becoming a Ben Zobrist kind of guy. Do you think that's in his future, being a Ben Zobrist, Cabin Biggio type guy?
Yeah, you look at the Blue Jays just roster as it's constructed right now, and you've got your pieces on the infield. You have Vladdy, you have Bo, Marcus Semien right now. You've got different pieces that are filling in, holding down their positions. And then, Cabin's on the injured list right now, but, he can kind of bounce around for you, play third base, whatever. So, yeah, I think for Logan Warmoth to now play the outfield, and you've got a couple reliable outfield pieces in AAA, I'll add Forrest Wall into that conversation as well. Then, if you're the Blue Jays, you've got a lot of different options. And I think that's maybe the thing. If you can learn one thing from bouncing a guy around, it's not always going to work by having them play one position a couple of days, move around. But if you can have Logan Warmoth kind of settle into a role, whether it's a corner outfield spot or center field, and understand being the outfield general in calling things out, then you're able to build that success up so that he can get a call up to the big leagues and be, maybe for right now, if there's an injury, he could be, one call away. But you're right, the power's back. And I think, I mentioned about 2020 and guys at alternate site, and there are a lot of guys that just did not play in 2020.
Right.
And it's the question of how are they going to bounce back here in 2021?
Definitely.
And I think that's something that we're going to be struggling to find out. And we may not know until the end of the season. There will be players that succeed, and there'll be players that took a step back. So for Logan Warmoth, I think it's an encouraging sign to see, without actual gameplay last year, that he has come up to AAA, ever not played a AAA game prior to this season, and has really acclimated himself well to this level.
I always have this conversation with guys in AA, guys in AAA, but players coming up to the next level. I think I had it with you last time, and probably Ben when he was the great voice of the Bison as well. Let's talk about this. Some of these guys in AA that are about to come up: Simeon Woods Richardson, Gabby Moreno, Austin Martin, Otto Lopez. Who's exciting you? Who's on your radar right now?
Well, I mean, Austin Martin is the easy answer because he is. You talk about Alec Manoah's rise up through the organization. I mean, Austin Martin, I mean, basically on the verge of the big leagues in the matter of a flip of a switch. So, he's exciting. Simeon Woods Richardson, another piece that, the Blue Jays, I look at what they've done. We've talked about a couple of players now who have been acquired via trade, and the ability of the Blue Jays to go out and identify players at all levels and make moves to, Anthony Kay and Simeon Woods Richardson, acquired for Marcus Stroman, two players that are at different levels of their progression. Anthony Kay quickly was in the big leagues within a couple of months.
Yeah.
And then you've got the piece in Woods Richardson who has time to develop. So I look at, the Blue Jays, if you can hit on a couple of these pieces, then you've got a recipe for success. So now get your reps in at AA. And I think AA has become a very difficult level. AAA has become the level where, and it's happening a little bit less because of players transitioning out after 2020, but this is kind of a level where you've got the guys that have had big league experience, and you've got guys that are trying to get back there. But AA has become a much harder level because some of those players haven't made it to AAA because of some of the log jam of the players at AAA. So I think if you're able to succeed at AA, you're further along in your progression than maybe you were 5 years ago, because the talent level And especially now that there are fewer levels of minor league baseball, there are fewer players. Yeah. So Double A has become much more difficult. And if you succeed there, then you're going to have a much better time and easier time of coming up to Triple A and having success. And maybe that is one thing we're seeing out of someone like maybe Logan Warmoth or even, you know, Santiago Espinal, who made the big leagues last year, just a handful of Triple A games in 2019, and has acclimated himself well to the highest level.
Yeah, absolutely. Espinal has done a great job. And again, another one of those guys that you can fill in at third, you can jump in at short, put him in the outfield. It's totally awesome. So I wanted to quickly ask you before we get into the Salem Field renovations and Blue Jays playing at Salem Field, the Buffalo Baseball Hall of Fame. There's two at the moment, and please correct me if I'm wrong, two former announcers in the Hall of Fame, Pete Weber, Jimmy Rosenhaus. Ben Wagner, to me, spent 11 years. I believe Pete and Jimmy were in the same ballpark as well. When do you think it's Ben's time to jump into the Hall of Fame?
Well, I think the fact that there hasn't been a minor league season, you know, potentially no Triple A season at Salem Field for 2 years will change things. But I know that the committee meets every winter, and I think it's just a matter of time for Ben. You know, not only did he spend over a decade here in Buffalo, but you know, to be a big league broadcaster and to be excelling at the position that he has since joining the Jays organization and Sportsnet, you know, just further adds to his resume. So I think for Ben, it's just a matter of, you know, when the next time maybe the committee meets and discusses that in the off season this coming winter, because I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Not just because of longevity, but like I said, that, you know, everybody brings something different to the table when they take over. And I think Ben, the one thing he did was move the position from what was the old traditional way of broadcasting a baseball game and moving it into the 21st century in the way of, you know, TV, radio, social media, a lot of the different aspects of things that have evolved in our business over the last decade. And I think for Ben, having done that, you know, just amplifies his case for being a Buffalo Baseball Hall of Famer.
Yeah, absolutely. With you on that. And I look forward to that day as well, Pat. Let's talk about these great renovations happening at Salem Field. What excites you about what has been completed, and how do you think it's going to benefit the Bisons when the Jays go back to Toronto?
A lot of what fans won't be able to see is the biggest change and what will excite the players the most. And if fans have ever been to Salem Field before, they'll know that when you come through what is the service level, the home clubhouse is on the first base side, the visiting clubhouse is on the third base side. In between there, there was a set of two batting cages that teams would be able to use, you know, whether just want to take extra swings, if it's raining outside, whatever, that was the area you go do it. That has been completely wiped out. And for the purposes of the Blue Jays, and this was the case last year due to social distancing because of COVID-19, the Blue Jays occupied what was the home and the visiting clubhouse. And then all of that was extended into one superstructure of a home clubhouse. So what used to be the batting cages became part of the home clubhouse. What used to be a room for the families to wait for the players after the game became part of the clubhouse. All that now, there's been between the Blue Jays and between Rich Baseball Operations, the team that the entity that owns the Buffalo Bisons, they've come together and done a lot of work to make what is now the Blue Jays home clubhouse permanent. So what used to be the batting cages will now permanently be a player locker room and lounge area and an area for the players to get ready for games. And what used to be the visiting clubhouse will now be part of the home clubhouse going forward for AAA baseball. So, you know, a long way to answer your question is, you know, for AAA, players will be treated to what is the best clubhouse experience, probably not on par with minor league baseball, but on par with major league baseball and a lot of what major league home clubhouses have become. So what used to be the home clubhouse will become the visiting side. So the Bisons going forward in 2022 or later this season, if the Blue Jays hopefully go back to Toronto, the Bisons will enter the field from the third base side going forward, which they used to enter from the first base side. And the visiting team when they occupy the AAA visiting team occupies what used to be the home clubhouse. They'll enter from the first base side, and they'll have updated amenities. So, you know, everything from the bathrooms, the showers, you know, the changing areas, the everything, the training area that the trainers use, all of those things have been upgraded to the standards of 2021. And for a ballpark that is going on 35 years old, it was in need of updates. And part of the major and minor league agreement was, you know, every 10 years or so, the standards change. So right. There were going to be changes needed anyway. So now this is a good time for those changes to happen. And it's been incredible to see, you know, a lot of what is there now will probably go back to Dunedin, because I'm sure a lot of what was in Dunedin for the players in the first 2 months of the season, you know, lockers and all those different things, you know, that has all been renovated and redone over the past couple of months. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, the Bisons are in Trenton right now. And that's one of the reasons potentially why, you know, the Blue Jays, not only the weather not being all that great in Western New York in April, admittedly, mm-hmm. you know, the ballpark just would not have been ready for a team to play here before June. So, you know, that's great. And the other aspect that fans will be able to see on TV and Sportsnet is that what used to be the bullpens in foul territory, which is almost uniform in minor league baseball, are now going to be moved out to right center field, out beyond the field of play. So that's another aspect of, you know, the game that will be benefit the players, is no longer having to navigate the bullpen mounds, which have caused players issues in the past. Now it's just, you know, the bullpens are on right center field, and the relief pitchers will enter from right center now.
So is it kind of like the bullpens now? Is that like one level and another level, or is
exactly?
Cool.
They'll be stacked on top of each other. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really neat to see that those kind of take shape over the last 2 months or so as the construction went on. And if fans have ever been to the ballpark, it's what we call the Power Alley, because it used to be the Power Alley Pub. There used to be a temporary tent, like a party tent out there. That's been replaced now by these two bullpens that take up that space. And there's still the permanent area that hopefully will be fans will be back in 2022 that the Blue Jays and the teams will use for now. But that's kind of that area.
So I remember, I think I talked to you and I talked to Mike Biskowski about this too, about Major League Baseball coming to Buffalo. And what do you think now Buffalo gets to now experience at Major League Baseball with fans? What do you think it'll do for the city? And do you expect the Jays to have a home field advantage? Because it sure felt like they didn't have it in Dunedin.
I think the Blue Jays will, by the virtue of so many of these players have played in Buffalo at Salem Field before. And I think that was something that was very evident last year. And the Blue Jays were, you know, far better a home team last year than the visitors were here at Salem Field. And that's one of the reasons why the Blue Jays were able to pick up one of those wild card spots last year. So I think, you know, guys, someone as easy as Jonathan Davis having played in these dimensions before, you know, that gives him an advantage to somebody that has not or hasn't played in Buffalo in 5, 6, 7 years. So I think it does give the team somewhat of a home field advantage. I think fans being back in the stands will be nice. You know, something we saw in Dunedin, and I know the capacity is nearly 50% at Salem Field. I think it's about 45% specifically, you know, for fans. So that'd be good. So yeah, it'll be unique. And, you know, I know that the question of could Buffalo be a home for Major League Baseball in the future, especially with the plans of potentially expansion, you know, evening things out to 32 teams and what we saw in hockey, right? You know, the NHL expanding to two more locations and evening out the conferences. Well, in baseball, we'll probably see two more teams added and potentially being National League teams to even things out. You know, it's a unique conversation, but I think you look around North America, and there are a lot of cities, whether it be Charlotte, North Carolina, Portland, Oregon, you know, even someone like Nashville.
Sure.
Charlotte and Nashville are two cities that have AAA teams right now that could be big league cities. So I think for Buffalo, it's a matter of, you know, knowing the situation you're in. I think we're in a good spot as being the AAA affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays, you know, a ballpark that was built to be major league, but has been scaled down over the years. To be still the biggest in minor league baseball, but to be on par with the top minor league ballparks as it's evolved. So I think it's, you know, maybe something that unfortunately, you know, wouldn't be in the plans necessarily, because there are other cities that have, you know, grown and are in a better spot, so to speak, to be major league cities. But I think it's definitely something that people in Buffalo have taken a lot of pride in the fact that folks around North America have been able to see Western New York and Salem Field on display last summer, and then we'll be able to do see it again this year, and now to see fans back, and that Buffalo can host a major league team, whether it be for just a couple of homestands or a season, is definitely something that people are not taking for granted.
So what are your plans now for the summer, Pat? Are you going to be the PA guy now for the Jays games at Salem Field? Is that the deal?
Well, it'll be a fun experience, a little bit bouncing back and forth between the two. You know, now that the Bisons are playing again, one of my responsibilities is making sure that social media and a lot of the behind the scenes stuff gets done for Bison games, and so that folks are able to still keep tabs with the Bison. So looking forward to that, and then seeing what comes up with the Blue Jays this summer, and hopefully taking in several of those games at Salem Field, and experiencing now with fans, just Major League Baseball in Buffalo.
One more before I let you go. Stanley Cup Finals predictions. What do you got?
I think whoever comes out of the West, whether it's Vegas or Colorado, I think they're just those two teams, to me, were the two best teams, not wire to wire necessarily, but you could see that they have become two of the best teams in the NHL. So I think Boston's peaking right now too. So if I had to give you an answer, I would say probably Boston and either of those two. I'll say Colorado, because I think they're the more complete team than Vegas. So I'll go with Boston and Colorado at this point.
Do you think the Kadri suspension hurts Colorado's chances?
I don't, just because they were able to just keep clicking. You know, I know their series against St. Louis will be different than the one against Vegas, but I think they just, that team last year, like, they're one of the teams to me that the COVID-19 pause really set them back. They were, I thought, poised last year to make a deep Stanley Cup run in 2020, had the season been able to play out under normal circumstances. So, from the start out slow, and then they get Nathan MacKinnon back, and he's playing up to MVP caliber status. I think that team really is another team that's kind of peaking at the right time.
I'm going to go Colorado and Winnipeg in seven. I don't think Toronto makes it past Winnipeg. I can't stand the Bruins, Pat. Don't even get me started on Boston.
Well, you're talking to a guy who's a huge Tragic of the Hip fan. So I, Gord Downie is a huge fan of the Bruins and his connection there. I do appreciate that a lot. Winnipeg is a team that, you watch them this year and they had their struggles, but they're another team. You talk about just having success at the right time. And, Connor Hellebuyck is playing well.
Yeah,
and
he is.
Who expected Winnipeg to sweep Edmonton in four, maybe to win the series, but, to sweep Edmonton in the way they did, and, they come from behind victory in game three, erasing the deficit in such a quick period of time, was pretty impressive. So Winnipeg is one of those teams. I like watching them play. And funny story is the AAA broadcaster in Lehigh Valley, Pat McCarthy, huge Winnipeg Jets fan. Right. So, he and I will go back and forth a lot, and he'll keep tabs on the Jets. And we, back in 2018, when they made their run to the conference finals against Vegas, I remember watching Pat watch one of those games during a rain delay. So, we got a couple connections to the Jets and AAA baseball.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Pat, great to talk to you again. Thanks for the time as always. And best of luck. Hopefully, you're back calling Bison's games full time, and we can send the Jays back to Toronto. But if not, enjoy it, man. It's Major League Baseball. Buffalo, you guys deserve it. You did a great job last year. I know you're going to do a great job this year. So thank you for your time as always, and keep it up.
Thanks, Brent. Hope to see you down here in Buffalo very soon. Hopefully things get back to normal, and we can have fans from Southern Ontario joining us at Salem Field again.
Count on it, pal. I'll be there. Pat Malacaro on the Cardi Show. We'll be right back. Big thanks to Pat for his time. He was fantastic, as always. Follow the Bisons, follow Pat, and Pat's work with the Sabres as well. Coming up on the Carter Show next week, going to be a good one. Alexis Bernicki, old friend of the program, returns. We're talking a lot of heavy stuff next week on the Carter Show.